next on the 5 o'clock report.
Doubtful that's going to be of any value.
I don't want to start a war.
Our financial system remains strong.
We don't have operational control.
That basically took the whole backyard out with it.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Russia reaps the reaper. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. A Russian ship in the Black Sea beat the U.S. to the scene of a U.S. Reaper drone crash caused by Russian fighter jets repeatedly buzzing and then colliding with the MQ-9 aircraft and apparently recovered some debris. But National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says not to worry.
Doubtful that's going to be of any value to anybody. In terms of intelligence or the capability on the MQ-9, we are not concerned that they're going to get anything of value.
So was the knockdown of that Reaper intentional? Joint Chiefs Chair General Mark Milley.
Don't know yet. We know that the intercept was intentional. We know that the aggressive behavior was intentional. There's no question that that part of it's intentional. The actual physical contact of the aircraft, that I'm not so sure.
Another big question here, what should the U.S. response be? Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
I don't want to start a war, but we need to draw lines in the sand and tell Putin these are the lines you can't cross, and if you do, there are going to be consequences.
Kennedy says the key is to follow up with those consequences. Ukraine's getting 4 fighter jets from Poland. They're known as MiG-29 jets. They'll be delivered in the near future. The Treasury Secretary says remain calm, all is well.
Our financial system remains strong and depositors' savings remain safe.
Janet Yellen speaking in front of a congressional panel following some high-profile banking collapses rattling depositors and Wall Street investors. Democrat Richard Blumenthal says there needs to be accountability in the Silicon Valley bank collapse.
These top executives should be held accountable. They almost cratered our entire banking system.
Republican Marco Rubio says SVB was a glaring exception that should have been flagged.
Mid-sized banks, community banks across this country don't look anything like what Silicon Valley Bank looked like. And I think the real question is, why did it take the San Francisco Fed and other agencies out there so long to spot this imbalance and this quirky situation of their books at that one bank?
Yellen emphasized no taxpayer money was used to prop up the failed banks. The funds instead came from deposit insurance funded by the banks. A GOP-only border field hearing in McAllen, Texas yesterday included this admission from Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz.
No, we don't have operational control.
The ears of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas must have been buzzing from this scorching criticism by House Homeland Security Committee Chair Mark Green.
Oh, you're at the southern border is not about money. It's not about numbers of Border Patrol agents, not about technology. This massive crisis, this human tragedy is the result of decisions and the incompetence of this secretary.
Democrats were invited to that hearing, but boycotted at the last minute, calling it nothing but a political show. North Korea fired a long-range ICBM today, just hours before landmark talks between South Korea and Japan. Japanese and South Korean officials confirmed the launch this morning. Defense analyst David Maxwell says, in a way, these launches are helpful to the West.
The intelligence analysts are certainly poring over the data. We likely collected a lot of data on this because we expect these tests. So this is really good for our intelligence to determine their capabilities.
North Korea's fourth missile launch in a week. A raging debate in France over raising that country's retirement age.
Opposition lawmakers booed, jeered, and sang the national anthem as the prime minister announced she was not going to wait for a vote. Instead, Elizabeth Warren forced through the controversial pension reforms by invoking special constitutional powers. This came after the Senate voted in favor of modified proposals, but the National Assembly remained mired in heated debate for that final hurdle. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
U.S. heat is growing on the Chinese owner of social media giant TikTok to shape up or ship out.
A statement from the company indicates the Biden administration has strongly recommended a divestiture of TikTok from its Chinese ownership, or else. A TikTok spokesperson says a split off from Beijing wouldn't solve U.S. security concerns, but that TikTok's own plans would.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy. Well, what are you driving right now? A couple of popular auto lines have just issued some recalls.
The biggest problem is a brake fluid hose that can potentially rupture in 1.3 million Ford Fusions and Lincoln MKZs, 2013 through 18 models. One crash has been related to this. The other involves 280,000 2021 F-150 pickups. They have a windshield wiper arm that can come off.
Jeff Gilbert in Detroit. Well, California's trying to dry out for a few days after being flooded by heavy rains and buried in deep snow. Even when the rain stops, the mudslides don't. This guy had one in his backyard.
I was basically right there drinking coffee, and I heard it and felt it kind of shook a little bit of the building, and it basically took the whole backyard out with it.
Forecasters are warning another atmospheric river event will hit California early next week. And March Madness already has its first big upset.
Clark in a straight jackal. He didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pickens. Goal!
Kevin Harlan with the call on True TV as the 13th-ranked Virginia Paladins got a three-pointer with 2 seconds to go to knock off number 4 seed Virginia, 68-67. It's the South Carolina school's first tournament appearance since 1980. By the way, about that unique team nickname, the Paladins are named for the Knights of Charlemagne's court, men of courage and daring, persons of outstanding worth or quality, firm in support or some cause or objective. Well, objective accomplished today. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, the debate over government authority during health emergencies. Central New York gets its first cannabis dispensary and going bananas on Route 322.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Tonight, turning cloudy where it has not already done so. Some rain reaching parts of western New York and western Pennsylvania. Low temperatures, 30s and low 40s. Cloudy with occasional rain and breezy for tomorrow with high temperatures in the 40s and low 50s. It'll turn colder in the afternoon across western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Saturday, mostly cloudy, brisk, and colder area-wide with flurries around and high temperatures in the 30s and lower 40s.
Very good, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. New York is appealing a judge's ruling that says emergency mandates on infectious diseases such as COVID are unconstitutional. Western New York State Senator George Borrello is disappointed Governor Hochul would take such action.
She thinks that she can just use taxpayer money to continue to appeal this and hope that we will tire out. Well, we are not tiring out. We will fight this. It's important for every New Yorker to understand that their basic rights and freedoms are under attack.
Borrello tells Family Life News if the Hochul administration is successful, government bureaucrats could use public health as an excuse to crack down on your constitutional rights.
They could deny someone their freedom. The rules that they created would allow them to pull someone from their home without reason, without justification, and using law enforcement.
Borrello accuses the Hochul administration of abusing its pandemic powers to run roughshod over the citizens of New York. The Diocese of Buffalo says a priest has been placed on administrative leave for a second time. The diocese says the decision to put Monsignor Peter Popadick on leave was made after a child sexual abuse complaint was lodged against him. He's currently serving as the pastor of St. Aloysius Gonzaga in Cheektowaga. And Bishop Edward Scharfenberger says the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany, which includes churches in the eastern part of the Family Life listing area, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Scharfenberger said yesterday the diocese is in tough financial position right now due to the number of civil claims it's facing from people who allege they were sexually abused by clergy. The first adult-use cannabis dispensary in central New York opened today. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has more.
The marijuana dispensary named William Jane is located on East State Street in Ithaca. Only New Yorkers with prior drug convictions are allowed to operate cannabis consumption stores. The one in Ithaca will receive financial support from the New York State Social Equity Cannabis Investment Fund. Critics contend the societal ills created by marijuana legislation far outweigh the profits that pot provides. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thanks, Brandon. The Oneida County Overdose Response Team has issued an alert following a large number of drug overdoses in that area over the past few days. There were 7 overdoses between March 10th and 12th, none of them fatal. Officials say the ODs likely involve multiple drugs, including fentanyl, which is being used to lace cocaine and methamphetamine. Still no deal on a contract for teachers in Buffalo, the state's second largest school district. The 4-year logjam came to a head again last night. WIVB's Tara Lynch.
Contentious talks continued between the Buffalo Teachers Federation and the Buffalo Public School District. The bickering at the bargaining table continues, with one main sticking point keeping them from reaching a deal. The district says they're so close but yet so far. The union says it takes two to tango.
Retiree health insurance is the main sticking point in that contract dispute.
Every time we get closer, it feels like we make 2 steps forward and then we go 1 step back.
The district says if they can't reach a deal by July, Buffalo teachers will have to go another year without a contract. Pennsylvania Now, Governor Josh Shapiro talking about the Commonwealth's teacher shortage problem. He's dangling some financial carrots to get more educators into the classroom.
If we fail to act, if we fail to take these common sense steps, we will have an even greater crisis tomorrow.
Shapiro wants to invest $25 million into teacher recruitment and retention efforts. His budget includes a $2,500 tax credit for newly certified teachers or educators who move to PA from other states. A new bill being proposed in PA may shift the state's deer hunting season. That story from Family Life's Brian Query.
State Senator Lisa Basola has posted a legislative memo looking to permanently move the opening day of firearms deer hunting back to the Monday after Thanksgiving. For the past 4 years, the season has opened on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and earlier this year, the Pennsylvania Game Commission's Board of Commissioners gave preliminary approval to a slate of 2023 dates that included the firearms deer season starting on Saturday, November 25th. The final vote on seasons and bag limits will take place in April, and while a number of sportsmen support the idea of moving the season opener back to a Monday, the majority of hunters surveyed in a new report, over 60%, want the start date to remain on Saturday. Brian Query, Family Life News.
Thanks, Brian. Busy times in Harrisburg right now. There's also legislation pending in the General Assembly that would prevent the state from suspending driver's licenses. We get that story from Family Life's Terry Diener.
The bill specifically points to fines from traffic violations. Current PA law restricts or revokes licenses of individuals who are in debt, a process that disproportionately impacts an already vulnerable class of lower-income individuals. Advocates argued that a driver's license is used for essential things that the state should not have the ability to punish for late fees, like making a living and caring for family members. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Terry.
We have no bananas today.
Well, thankfully, no injuries, but a lot of bruised bananas as a section of U.S. Route 322 near the Oak Hall exit in Center County, PA, was closed for several hours early this morning after a crash involving a tractor-trailer hauling, you guessed it, bananas. The Bowlesburg Fire Company responded to the crash around 1 in the morning. Everything was cleared up by 5:30. It took three tow trucks to remove it all, but the bananas themselves were mostly contained. The nightly market report is up next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks ending the trading session higher as the largest banks in the U.S. today deposited $30 billion into First Republic Bank to stabilize the nation's 14th largest bank. This action from banks like JPMorgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and more proved their confidence in our banking system. 9 of the 11 sectors within the S&P 500 were positive, led by information technology, communication services, and financials. That from stabilizing attempts of First Republic. Crude oil today increasing 61 cents per barrel. The Dow was up 372 points, the Nasdaq gaining 283, and the S&P 500 tacked on 68. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Despite fears of recession, employers are still scrambling to find workers and hang on to the ones they have. I am Rob West with today's Faith and Finance Minute. Employers are still open to increasing wages, so maybe it's time you ask for a raise. But how you ask for one can improve your chances of getting it. Here's what you shouldn't say. I've never asked for a raise before. I'm always on time. Bob's been here a year and he got a raise. I bought a house and I need the money. Make your pitch about the company, not you. List your accomplishments, like problems you've solved that retain customers, saved money, or increased the bottom line. Then share your list with your boss. You'll be far more likely to hear yes when asking for a raise. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the FaithFi community. Download FaithFi, Faith and Finance, in your app store or visit faithfi.com.
Thank you. Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, what would it have been like to fly in Elvis's private plane? You might get a chance to find out soon.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life weather forecast. A disturbance coming in from the Midwest will be delivering some rain to the area later tonight and tomorrow. Ahead of it, milder air will keep our moisture as liquid, not frozen. The call for tonight turning cloudy where it has not already done so. Some rain reaching parts of western New York and western Pennsylvania. Low temperatures, 30s and low 40s. Cloudy with occasional rain and breezy for tomorrow with high temperatures in the 40s and low 50s. It'll turn colder in the afternoon across western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. On Saturday, area-wide colder, brisk winds, mostly cloudy, with some light flurries around, with temperatures peaking in the 30s and lower 40s.
Thank you very much, Kevin Williams. And finally at 5.
Sweet old chariot, come down easy, pass it to the terminal zone.
A Florida man wants to give people around the country an Elvis experience. That's what James Webb said recently after he bought a plane once owned by Elvis Presley. Webb bought the 1962 Lockheed Jetstar at auction in January for over $200,000. It's not going to fly anymore, though. He plans to sell the wings, then use the body of the plane as an RV that he can tour the country with. Webb tells ABC Action News he hopes touring with the plane will raise money for charity and teach people about Elvis and his impact, which was, of course, considered. That's the world we live in for Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.